Hello and welcome to another episode of Spoon, the Tick versus the Podcast, the only podcast on the interwebs dedicated solely to the tick, and you'll only find it here on neozaz.com. I kind of felt I needed to throw the neozaz in there, you know, kiss the hand that feeds you. But this episode is one that I was just telling the guys earlier, I have not had a chance to go back and watch this one. So this one has probably been decades since I've seen. So I feel bad. Hopefully the other guys have watched this ahead of our recording so that they can talk in detail about this one. But we are going to talk about is this the fourth or fifth episode? And then I'll introduce you guys because I realized I didn't introduce you again.
Why do you think I've remained so quiet?
Steve.
Silent but deadly.
Steve needs an introduction. Steve, is this the fourth or fifth episode?
It's my first podcast and I became a diva so damn quickly. according to my menu here, we're still on disc one of season two.
Disc one
of season
two.
So we're like three in.
Three? Okay,
well, I think this would be four because the episode before it wasn't actually on the DVD.
Derek, yeah. I said never to contradict me.
I apologize, sir.
I'm a monster.
There is our second co-host, Derek.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Derek. Good to have you.
Who's contradicting Steven, the other co-host. So this is
long-running feud.
Leonardo da Vinci and his fighting genius time commandos. Which came out in 1995, wonderful year. And I believe this, according to IMDb, there were two episodes that played on this day, the 30th of September, 1995. So we don't know which one actually played first. I didn't pay attention that day. Whoa, those 21 years ago when I saw this on television. So
I remember Fox. At the last second, yanked an episode of Eek the Cat because of all the anti-Semitic content. they said we can't air this. We'll just air two ticks back to back.
Yeah, that one was called Oi the Cat.
It's in a vault. Actually, it won't be released until the voice actor dies.
Exactly. Oi this cat! How tangy is it? It's not too tangy. It's good.
It's sitting right next to that clown movie.
The Day the Clown Cried, yeah.
The Day the Clown Cried.
Right.
Sits on a shelf next to Eek the Cat.
Before we get into this, I saw that Jerry Lewis was signing autographs for – it might have been like some website that does autograph. And one of the images that you could get was an image from The Day the Clown Cried?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was an image from that, but I thought that would be very strange for him to sign that, considering that
there is no way that had to be a plant, a fake.
No, it was there on the thing, and I found that to be most of the things were like Nutty Professor stuff, but then there was this one image of the Day the Clown Cried, and I thought that was very strange, considering that.
Dear Kyle, you'll be hearing from my lawyer. Signed, Jerry Lewis.
Hello, hey Dean. So, anyway, all right, well, let's get into this. We are back to DVDs on this one. So
greater
we've got our
picture clarity. And yes, Tim, I did watch this earlier in the day.
Good.
To get a refresher.
As did I.
Okay. So I'll let you guys drive the boat on this one. And in the back, I'll go, oh, yes.
So here we go. Commentary on our commentary, huh?
Yeah. All right, so I've got the episode all lined up here in my DVD player. You guys are all set?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll do a count off of 1, 2, 3, and then go. And when I say go, that's when we play. All right, 1, 2, 3, go.
Go. I got a clock. You guys got a clock?
I got a clock.
We got clocks.
Okay.
There we go. All right, now it's playing correctly this time.
Like warm, familiar bathwater.
I do like that there is a very, very large cast on this one. And
yes, an excellent cast. Once again, Jim Cummings returns for his.
Jim Cummings is back. Hamilton Camp is back.
Uh huh.
Franklin.
It's always a good episode when Jim comes back.
playing a good guy for once.
And we got Miss Yvonne is on here. Lynn Marie Stewart.
Oh.
Or Charlie, or for the millennials, Charlie's mom on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's, well, she's fallen rather far, hasn't she? I mean, Always Sunny's fine. I just mean, never mind.
She's it's one fine. That I definitely want to meet
just
one of these
days. Called Always Sunny in Baltimore. You don't want it to be your city.
I love the tick catching the corner of the roof with his chin.
There's something very Looney Tunes about this opening, though.
The bright color palette. And at the risk of being obvious, that would have to hurt in real life, folks. Your bullets can't harm me. You see, that's from the throat. Yeah, Jim Cummings, the journeyman of cartoon voicing. He's in everything, and it did everything that Disney has ever done. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Catch up, guys.
Yeah, do you think this seems very campy. I mean, campier than most. Just this opening.
The whole running into one another in the midair. Yeah. You know, like the air traffic bumping into each other stuff. Yeah.
Nope.
Well, they had to somehow get to the setup of colliding with Da Vinci. What's the matter with you? Do you think that this episode owes a debt to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
The you're talking about like the meetup of all the historical inventors and
pastiche of them all contributing their talent.
It's probably on their mind.
They just have to take him to the Ziggy Piggy.
Yeah. Who's the Ziggy Piggy? Don't like to boast. Yada
yada yada. Nice try, pal. Let's see your license. For our younger listeners, little known fact, Da Vinci means of Vinci.
Oh.
So in fact, when you name something like the Da Vinci Science Center, which we have here in the Lehigh Valley, it's improper. It would probably have to be Vinci Science Center, or more appropriately, the Leonardo Science Center. I hate it. It's great, but
then you would have to say Leonardo da Vinci to separate him.
I guess you would. Here we are, the Mona Lisa, moaning softly for him. It's a little too sexy for 10:30 a.m. on a Saturday night.
What is he doing there? He is churning butter.
He's pumping that well.
Yeah.
And then this little throwaway. The screen door on his submarine. almost a Polish joke, but he didn't get to finish it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that this Mona Lisa never actually smiles in the episode, which may have been intentional. Who knows?
She just says resting bitch face. Oh, there's the caveman. I do remember. What is
this? The cave woman?
The cave person.
Yes, cave woman.
Now, this voice actor, Paul Williams, the acclaimed singer, and I didn't realize that till I was looking into this, and I recognize his voice from Batman the Animated Series.
Ooh, yes.
As the Penguin.
He was the original Penguin.
That is an unmistakable voice.
I have a autographed Batman Animated Series comic with Penguin on the cover that he signed for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have seen him. He played the Opry. He came out and he played the Opry and he sang Rainbow Connection, which is the song he wrote for the Muppets.
You talk about a Renaissance man. He should be behind that glass.
We got a little bit of a smile there. Whose name has been lost in the sands of
time. What is it, dear? Tim, I remember when we talked about this way back originally when it aired. I think you found it very clever that the cave woman's name is Wheel, and so she merely named her invention for herself.
Yeah. Wheel,
the self-titled invention. You arrogant jerks, try inventing something these days. I love how much Paul Williams commits to his tirade.
For such a little pear-shaped man. He does a very good job of some vocal talents. And I like the little warts on his face, on the character's face. It's a nice little touch. Who's the guy with the catchphrase?
Easy!
Is that Edison?
Alexander Graham Bell. No, no, it's Edison, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Thomas Edison.
Derek, help me out. Is Edison? Okay.
It is Edison.
With this very same device, I will send a time bomb. If I hadn't now, thrown out of air conditioner, actually, Tim, it's funny you say, man, I feel like there's a very interesting gender ambiguity in this villain. He calls himself the mother of invention. It could have been the father of invention. But then there are these like feminine touches, the long hair, the sort of gown, the Sally Jesse Raphael frames.
Maybe he's just a giant Zappa fan.
Could he be our first LG... Is that the right letters? Character, the one here, comic book, potentially the T.
We don't know, but
yes.
I don't know. There was that reporter Vernon on the Ninja Turtles cartoon. He was pretty flamboyant, if you know what I mean.
Wow, that's quite a pull.
I was buried way, way deep in my psyche. But we're not going to stay here for this. Right. So how do we get out? I would love to have known the process, the writer or writers. What inventors do I select for this all-star team?
Yeah.
And how do I represent at least one woman?
Who are we?
I mean, women invent things, but not the ones who get the,
bring in Marie Curie or anything like that.
Yeah.
What did she invent? Dying of cancer?
Hey, she did it good.
If you're gonna do something right. See, I've seen Mona Lisa kind of smile twice.
Yeah.
Already.
All right. Thanks for proving me wrong.
I like that they gave Da Vinci that kind of like Goomba Italian, like half of my pimples. You know, like when I go to a family reunion, they're like, "Hey, yo."
I'm surprised that Franklin has not tried to put the moves on Cavewoman, because apparently he would stick his wee-wee into anything and everything, especially if they were in France.
It's funny you bring that up, Tim. I found the characterization of Franklin interesting. They make him kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, like, at best, he's rather acerbic. At worst, he's a diva. He goes, "You forgot, author."
Where I think... I always think of Ben Franklin as kind of being like Lincoln, like very lovable and charming and witty.
Sure. I mean, he had everything going for him. Why wouldn't you be happy?
He had those bifocals. He invented that thing with the bowls that you could play.
You can still see that at the Franklin Court, a museum in Center City, Philadelphia. I think Tim and I, we went there together, didn't we?
Have we gone there? We probably have. I'm sure we have.
There was some delicious date with somebody.
I did go there the last time I went up to Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
And
God, I haven't been there since grade school for a field trip.
Next time I go up there, I do have to stop in because I need to get my new National Park passport stamped.
By the way, Franklin gets one of my favorite lines from this episode, that this guy's skipping without a rope. Which is like clever and clean, you know, for kids' audiences.
Yeah. You can tell it to your grandma. I might have to use that.
Now, grandma.
You can tell that Jim Cummings is also the voice of the lead Mongol here. And I love that they're mercenaries and they're very cynical. Nobody ever did it for free, fella.
They're kind of like pineapple Pokemos, guys.
Yeah.
They're
smarter than the average henchman.
Yeah, basically.
Now, I have a technical question. If they're all temporal anomalies, then how is that arrow not just spinning in place?
Do we see Leonardo's awesome hat?
Oh, I dig that one. Neil, it's a callback.
I know. Totally need one of those hats. My refrigerator, my
bike. You got a bike. What a fortune that would fetch for Arthur. Leonardo da Vinci wore this dinosaur Neil hat in my living room.
If we had a bigger fan base, I would try to create some kind of product for our show, but we seem to not be able to get above like 35 likes on Facebook.
Well, that's still pretty. That's better than most of my political screeds.
Yeah.
And they're all Tim's side accounts that he just goes on and likes us to make us feel better.
That's right.
Here's a great touch. This guy reading the newspaper, without breaking stride, just turns. Turns away from the Mongols. You get the sense that the citizens of the city have become rather used to the weirdness and arbitrary destruction.
This is like Duke Nukem.
What are you guys doing?
Very complacent.
I do like the design detail on these Mongols.
The little turtle necklace.
Yeah. And is Da Vinci wearing a bike helmet?
Yeah, and he's got the little chin strap going there.
Cause
it's a children's
Arthur,
show, man. Safety.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But Arthur, if he, you know, he owns a bike, and of course he would have a helmet because he's very practical and safety minded.
Yeah. Damn it! Tables are expensive.
Don't worry, they're going to go to a furniture store later in this season, Tim.
Yes, they do.
They do need a table. They will need a table. And there's the bald guy.
Yeah, the bald guy on the landing. Who was that? I never noticed him before.
Yeah, whatever happened to... Who was the guy from the Thrakazog? Did he move out? Is he gone?
Yeah, whatever happened to Thrakazog's roommate.
He went to jail. They pegged like 8 murders on him. Clearly, he was a serial killer.
that and he had a hydroponic farm in the closet.
Yeah. Oh, slap in the face.
I could make a call.
Concentrate on being vicious and hairy. Besides, I've got something better in mind.
That's my job, being vicious and hairy.
We don't have the materials. Yeah, cuz Da Vinci took all. Yeah, it's Franklin. Mr. Franklin's just kind of a malcontent. They must have brought him forward in time on like a bad day. Maybe he was trying to broker diplomatic relations with the French at the time.
The guy who is the voice of Carver is also the voice of Pineapple Pokepo.
Okay. Oh wow. What range. And that hand truck and those peanuts. They sent out for pizza and soda. Now, Tim, these ninjas, if I remember, the ninjas were like a constant presence in the Tick comics, right?
In the comics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like all ninjas all the time. And I think that this is the first time we've seen the ninjas on the show. I may be wrong, but I think I'm right.
I'm pretty sure
no,
it is.
No, I don't think we've seen them yet. But yeah, you're right. They were extremely heavy in the comic books.
There was like one episode, or there was at least a level on the game, the Night of Too Many Ninjas.
Now, the Tick just made a reference. I love that they put this in. It would mean nothing to children, but he says, "I am become Shiva, destroyer of worlds," which is from, I believe, the Bhagavad Gita, but also Robert Oppenheimer, who developed the nuclear. The bomb, the A-bomb.
Yeah, down there in Oak
also
Ridge.
Also famously said it when contemplating what he had wrought. And now the Tick says it flying over the city. It's incredible. Oh, isn't that so good? As the Tick gets off on having his nose scratched.
Oh, no. And they just happen to crash through an already crashed through window. What luck.
Cartoon glass is pretty expensive, all right?
Yeah. You don't know how much that costs.
I'm telling you, if you ever wanted to have a business in this cartoon, it would be in the glass and table repair industry.
Yeah.
Not to mention gargoyles and stonemason facades. Stone facades, most. <almost. laughs> Now, this is one of the most complex third acts the show ever did, I think, with all the moving parts. All the different the guys from different eras and the inventors who all have to have their part in the escape machine.
You've got at least 5 different types of villains too.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's so much to keep track of that they're about to go to a split screen thing. Years before 24.
Too many ninjas. And
ambitious stuff like this POV from behind Arthur just now.
There was one I think it's in the next episode. There was an interesting shot of Arthur. I'll point it out when I see it, because it's something I notice. I'll mention it when I see it. Hey, there we go. Look at that.
Yeah, that's it.
What? There was a... There was a show that did that. It would. Was it like The Fall Guy? Or Buck Rogers? Buck Rogers, I think, would do that, where they would do the little screens and show you what all the characters were doing.
I don't know. I remember Pillow
it's
Talk.
It's been some
movie.
Time since I've watched Buck Rogers.
So here we have the escape machine. It seems that Edison's only contribution is the record player that plays the get pumped music, which you need if you're going to stage an escape.
Which is funny because Edison didn't create the record. He created the cylinder disc. RCA created the record.
Wow, Tim, what a killjoy.
He eventually had to concede in press records instead of his wax cylinders.
I think Nikola Tesla deserved to be in this episode, but no. Yeah,
the great radio controversy.
Gutenberg's contribution is the movable type that just add literally the insult to the injury.
Yes, that hurts.
I've got a message for you. My only quibble is that's not how peanut butter works.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Mario Kart right here.
And the poor elephant.
If anything, this peanut butter would create better traction for the elephant. But, hey.
When did Arthur have time to patch his wing?
Oh.
Up, oh, continuity error.
At least they're keeping with it. He has the patch on it.
It is patched. But when? Scoundrel, your time is up.
Stop right there. Obligatory shout out to Doug Katsaros. There's a couple little touches. The little like Da Vinci Renaissance theme that he has throughout this is great. And if you listen closely, the scenes where it's on the cave woman, there's like a little like a jungle drum beat, like a very primal thing that accompanies her. Now it's time to go to jail. Oh
yeah. Tell that to the Renaissance. Like the extended gag here of the door on his leg.
Mm-hmm.
He could have easily just kicked that off. It would have been easier for the artists, but no, they keep it on. Maybe not.
Arthur, put this on. I like how quickly Arthur figured out how the time machine works.
Oh, well, you know what? In situations like that, you just start twisting the dial, you know?
Oh, there goes the tick.
I really like the idea that Florence is populated by just, like, pretentious art fans.
Yeah.
Just standing around looking for the next installation. Yes, but is it art?
That's just a matter of opinion. I
can't stand that stuff. I never. Now, with so much going on in this episode, I can't really blame them for this Deus Ex Machina conclusion here. Easy. He just switches off the bomb. Bravo! That wasn't so bad. Let's go see the Giotto Tower. Shout out to the Giotto Tower.
Bravo.
So then, what you didn't see is Arthur figured out how to bring the tick back to the present day. That's because you're losers. And at that point, we've all let bygones be bygones. Nobody's fighting anymore because they know they've been beat.
You've done wrong. Go home and think about what you did.
Never mind that they're all the ones who are armed. The ninjas, the Mongols, the medieval knights.
Hey, everybody. I'm the only black man in the show. You got the shining? I got the shining, too.
Batman Crothers. Dead, right?
Dead.
Dead.
Paul Williams is still alive.
Paul Williams is still alive. I will say that the voice of Wheel, Cynthia Sanjay, dead. She died at the young age of 58.
She got crushed by a wheel.
You know what? And she was married to Susan Blue. So I didn't know Susan Blue was lesbian. Hey,
what happened to the cave lady? Oh, she was an L, huh?
Yeah.
Don't try to make him spell that again.
This, I gotta say, that the detail on this lobster, the way she's eating it, has always turned my stomach.
Yeah.
I thought you were about... That delicious. I thought you guys has always turned me on.
Yeah.
He loves disgusting graphic eating.
I do. I just, it's, lobster gets kind of expensive, so when I take a woman out, I just have her like tear into it like a Yoplait or something. I don't want to end on that, guys. What do you think? I mean, this is a favorite episode of mine. I think it's ambitious. There's so much going on.
It definitely is the Thinking Man's episode. That is definitely. There's a lot there. I wouldn't say it's my favorite episode, or I mean, I wouldn't even put it in my top 10. But there is a lot going there, especially with the historical things.
Right.
I think Tim's right. I think it started out pretty silly just to get to the premise of the episode, but it definitely built on from there. And having all the different types of enemies, and especially the ninjas, which were such a big part of the books, finally showing up, it definitely made for a challenge.
Yeah.
So aggregate score, it's a 7.7 ticks out of 20.
On IMDb, it is rated a 5.4. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Caged Heat.
Yeah. How many tabs do I have open right now, Tim?
Jeez. Do I have egg on my face? It's got a 7.9 on IMDb, not a 5.4.
Tim, I'm quite turned on by the egg on your face, incidentally.
This is definitely not Jonathan Demme's Caged Heat. This is The Tick. Episode Leonardo da Vinci and his fighting genius time commandos. So, anyway, it was written by Michael Rubiter, who that name does not sound familiar to me. I'm curious what else this gentleman has done. This is the only episode of The Tick he has written, but he
Alias.
Before this, he wrote. An episode called Sick Day for The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Which people love. They lovingly recall that show. I was always to it, but...
I was addicted to that show when that was Pete on, man.
Yeah.
With Artie, the strongest man in the world.
Uh-huh. If they said they were going to Kickstarter like a Pete and Pete movie or something, there are people who would like sell their cars just to help finance that.
The thing about Pete and Pete that I always liked is they had all those like 70s and early 80s punk and new wave musicians that were on, like Iggy Pop played a teacher and the guy from Violent Femmes.
The kids loved that stuff. Yeah.
Well, and that was the thing is like for a kid like me, even though I was late teens, early 20s when it was on, I was like, that's Iggy Pop. Oh, those are the guys from the 52s.
Iggy Pop was on a lot. Buscemi played one of the kids' parents. Through half the season. That was just weird.
Yeah. It was,
music was good on that show too.
I mean, if we were to go back and do, if they were to do that show now with contemporary, like musicians from the early 90s or late 90s, it would, who would they get? They'd have like Dave Matthews and Ace of Base.
I would turn it off.
They'd have the girl from, Sixpence None the Richer as someone's mom.
What are Stroke 9 doing? Probably not much.
They're kissing Lee Nash under the bearded barley. Anyway, so there we go. That was The Tick with Leonardo. I guess the next episode that we shall do will be Coach Fussell's Lament.
See you there.
Badoosh.
Badoosh.